and it's chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 34. Peter is with Cornelius and his family. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jane. Let's pray. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've had to change the start of my sermon because I was actually going to start very differently. I'll tell you how I was going to start. I was going to start by saying, it's amazing that at Christmas we have so many people come to church at Christmas. We had over 1,000 people come through the doors this Christmas. And I was going to say, at Easter, we get fewer people coming. So, a huge thank you to you for coming. What I was going to say is that I wonder whether the difference between Christmas and Easter is that people understand what Christmas is about, but people don't understand what Easter is about, because most people think that Easter is about eggs. Well done. Easter eggs, or bunnies. Fluffy bunnies and new life. And all those things are really important in one sense, but they're not the essence and reality of what Easter is about. Easter is about the cross. And in a sense, today, I don't want to rush to Easter Sunday without thinking once again about Good Friday. And those of you that were here on Good Friday, it was a very moving and powerful service. And many people left the church in tears. Not because it was a bad service, it was a good service. But many people left the church in tears because there was a recognition of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished and done for us. And I want to take you back in a moment. Well, now. Let's take you back now. And I want you to think, if you can, about a disfigured man on a cross. He's been disfigured by the whipping and the beating. And the man on the cross cries out, "My God! My God, why have you forsaken me?" And then the man cries out again in a loud voice and breathes his last breath. And Mark 15:39 says these words, "And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" There's a recognition of who Jesus is. You see, that centurion that was stood there would have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of crucifixions. They were good at crucifixions. They knew what it was to torture people and to crucify people. So what was different about this crucifixion? What was different about this that the centurion who was there, big, strong, bold man, should say, surely this was the Son of God? Was it something in what he said? Was it the way he died? And you see, even through death, there's a recognition of who Jesus is. And Easter is about Jesus. The centurion at the cross, and now we're in another centurion's house, Cornelius. He was part of the Italian regiment. Cornelius had had a vision from God. Peter had a vision from God. And to cut a long story short, they joined up. And Peter went to Cornelius' house. And Peter starts to tell all those who are gathered there the story of Jesus. And we know that Cornelius and his family, they were devout, God-fearing, they were generous givers, and they had an angel visitation. And in many ways, you see, Good Friday, the cross, it could have been the end. It could have been the end. And Jesus cries out, "It is finished." He actually says, "It's finished." But what he means when he says it's finished is that what he has sent to be done has been finished. Not that he's finished. Because 3 days later, the miracle of Easter is God raised him from the dead. And I want to say now, and I'll probably pick it up later, that the miracle of Easter is not only new life for Jesus, but it's new life for all who put their trust and faith in God through Jesus. It means a transformed life, a new life. And if I'm really cheeky, and I am, I could say to you, it's the only reason that we're all gathered here today is because of Jesus. Isn't it? Good. Just checking. It is the only reason that draws us here and gets us here to worship together is because of Jesus. And Peter starts his explanation. And he says, "I now realize the penny's dropped that God has no favoritism." God has no favorites. You see, Peter believes that the good news of Jesus, the gospel, is only for the Jews. But he's had a vision from God which has changed it. And it's so easy to say that the good news of Jesus and Jesus dying on the cross and God's love is only for a select group of people. I want to take some of you back to your childhood. For some of you, it's a long way. If you're anything like me. But just think back if you can. And that moment when you've got two captains, either for netball or for football or for basketball, and everybody else is lined up against the wall. And you're one of the ones, because you... who here were the captains? Always the cap. Oh, you were the... Oh, dear. We can pray for you later. But the rest of you, you're with me, aren't you? You're amongst the crowd who are lined up against the wall. And you are always thinking and praying, "I don't want to be last. Please do not make me last. I want to be one of the first." Now, some other people might need prayer this morning. Who was always one of the last? Goodness me. Well, you could have prayer from the people who were the captains because it was their fault. And it was horrible being last. It was awful. And there was embarrassment, there was shame. And actually, what Peter's saying here is, with God, there's no favourites. We're all number one. We're all picked first. There's no favourites at all. Sorry, I don't know about you, but I think that's really, really good news. Thank you, whoever that was. That we're all favourites of God. There's no one that's more special than somebody else. And I think that's such a great leveller, but it's also such a great truth, and it shows the very heart of God. So what it means is that we're all included. It doesn't matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, we can all find access to God through Jesus. That's brilliant. That's some neat deal. God has no favourites, no favouritism. He now realises that the good news of Jesus is for everyone. He then goes on to speak about what Jesus did. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus Christ was God's Son. He was anointed, set apart for the task that God asked him to do. And he did it by means of the Holy Spirit and with power. And Jesus, it says, he went around doing good. And I'll stop there for a moment to get my breath back. There are a lot of people who do good things. I've met, aren't there, some wonderful people in the world? Wonderful people. But here's the deal. You don't get to heaven, you don't get access to God by being good. I've tried it, you see. When I was growing up, I thought, stupidly, that God could only see at night. Sorry, that's my logic. So what I thought was, I'd be good during the day, and I'd save my things up at night for being not so good. And if I did something that wasn't quite so good, I'd go to church twice on a Sunday to make up for it. So here's my good deeds, here's my bad deeds. And if I'd been really bad, I'd go to a prayer meeting on a Thursday night, just to balance it out. The problem with that is, you can't do enough good stuff to balance it out. And the truth is, it isn't about doing good things. It's because of Jesus' death. I was really courageous a few weeks ago, and we had a baptism service. And I asked the congregation, as a vicar, on a scale of 0 to 10, how good do you think I am? 0 being bad and 10 being good. What do you think they said? 10. No, they didn't. They should do, but they didn't. I was gutted. They said 5. And the reality and truth is, I am a 5. I have good days, I have bad days. But here's the wonderful thing, that because of Jesus and because of what he's done, when God looks at me through Jesus, what does he see? 10. 10 plus. Star. Gold star. That's what he sees. That's the beauty, the wonder, the miracle of the resurrection and new life. And it says that they hung him on a tree and he died. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen, and he ate and he drank with his friends. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was seen by over 500 people. So we know that Jesus rose from the dead. We know the evidence and the proof, but here's a question for you. Have any of you seen Jesus? So what are you doing here? Eh? Thank you. Faith. You've experienced Jesus. And you know that because Jesus rose from the dead, the final enemy has been conquered. And what happens is that when we transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, when we're away from God, and then when we come home to him, we are now children of God, sons and daughters of the living God. We now have what many people call being born again. The trouble with the phrase born again, it conjures up all sorts of pictures, doesn't it? I have to say something which I really don't like. Happy clappies. Are you one of those happy clappies? I hate it. With a passion. Because I hope that I'm not. Because when we moved into the kingdom of light, God places his Holy Spirit in us and makes us charismatic people. What charismatic people mean is full of the Holy Spirit and real people. Did I cry at our daughter's wedding? Yes, I did. Do I cry all the time? No. No, I don't. But I hope there's a reality about life. And I hope that we see things differently. And I hope that we are transformed by the resurrection. I'm going to have to be careful about what I say next. I'm just thinking about it before I land into it. Because some of you will get this, and some of you it will go completely over your head. Now don't pretend, but who remembers the transition from black and white television to colour? Okay, some of you are lying, because some of you are older than me, and I can see. Well, when those of you who had black and white television, was it nice, black and white telly? It was all right, wasn't it? The only problem with black and white telly was, if you're watching the snooker, or the television, to be perfectly honest, in those days, it had valves in the back. It took about 2 hours to warm up. And then it had fuzzy lines across it. And you used to have to whack it all the time to get it right. And I remember the transition to colour. And I remember in our house, we couldn't afford colour telly. So, again, you're going to have to forgive the illustration. If you don't get it, it's ask an old person afterwards. But We used to have Lucozade. Anyone remember Lucozade? Okay, thank you. And it had yellow foil, things round it, didn't it? Well, I collected all those yellow sheets around the Lucozade bottle, and I sellotaped them together, and I put it over the black and white telly to make it colour. That's true. The trouble with doing that was all we got was sepia. But I thought it was the real deal, and I'd sit for hours watching sepia television because it was better than black and white. How sad am I? But you see, the thing is, for most of us, that's exactly what we do with Jesus. The centurion recognized who he was, but most of us accept and believe a pale imitation, the sepia color. If you've got 42-inch high-definition internet telly, anyone got 42-inch? You don't want to brag, do you? I can guarantee you there's at least one person here, and this isn't a prophecy, but I can guarantee you that there's at least one person, thank you, one brave person's got a 42, two have got a 42-inch telly. With high definition, all the bells and whistles, you do not want to go back to something else. You've just been found out. You're lying. Would you like a tape measure for when you get home? And you don't want to go back. So don't be settled. Don't settle for some pale imitation of Jesus Christ. Don't. Settle for the truth of who he is. Because if you settle for the truth of who he is, your life will never be the same. Because here, Peter preached the truth of who he was, Jesus was. And people received the Holy Spirit. And there's a command in here which is for Peter and for the disciples, and I'm going to suggest for us. And it's in verse 42. He commanded us, this is Jesus, to do two things. To preach to the people and to testify of who Jesus is. Two things, to preach and to testify. Okay, I'm a preacher because I stand up here. But actually not all of us are called to be preachers. But I'm going to suggest and tell you that actually before I became one of these that stood up here, I was still a preacher anyway. I was a preacher with my life because that's what it is. Because we've got the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit comes out and it's preaching with our lives and who we are. Yes, some of us might be called to do this, but we're also called to testify to who Jesus is and what he's done. That's the whole business of Easter. He's died for us, and he's risen, and he's ascended. And as Andy said at the start of the service, if we can't smile on Easter Sunday, we can't smile at all. But as I was saying, I don't think as Christian people who know the resurrection power and who have the resurrection life, we should be people who reserve our smiling and our passion and our enthusiasm for one day of the year. Do you? Oh, I'm glad. Because we'd have a great celebration on Easter Sunday, and the rest of the year, we'd be miserable. But it's a reality of life. And when Jesus is preached and proclaimed and testified about, then people are drawn to him. People receive the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized. And when we come to Jesus, the way to the Father is open, and verse 43 says, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through Jesus' name. The slate is wiped clean. Do you remember Etch-a-Sketch? I don't know what it's called now. Etch-a-Sketch, thank you. It's one thing that hasn't changed. It's exactly the same. But you know Etch-a-Sketch, you make all those doodles on the thing and you slide it across and it's gone. Never to be seen again. You can doodle and scribble and paint, do whatever to your heart's content and it's gone. And when you come to faith in God through Jesus, the slate's wiped clean and it's continually wiped clean because of the death of Jesus. Jesus Christ, God's Son, who does no wrong, who takes the sin of the world on his shoulders so that we could have free access to God, that we could have freedom, the chains would be gone, we'd know who the Father is, we'd worship the Father through the Son, we'd receive his Holy Spirit, and all we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit out. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, not dependent on who we are, what we feel like. I said God's got no favourites. The deal is, you come to faith in him, he puts his Holy Spirit in us. That's the deal. And this Easter time, I want us to be people who have received resurrection life. People who know the truth of who Jesus is and not some pale imitation. People who have been transformed by the love presence of Jesus. And I want us to be people who will be willing to give it away to others. And if it means dying to self, then we die to self to give it away. Amen. I don't know about you, I'm worn out. Please stand. Oh. What time is it? Okay. This is going to be simple. This is really simple. Let's make this as simple as possible. Because quite often we pray for people, we ask God to do all sorts of things with people. I've said a phrase already, and I think it's a truth, that God has placed His Holy Spirit in us. Here's what I'd love to happen, is that we, and it is us, it's a choice, we allow what God has placed within us to come out. That's all. For His glory and honour, because when Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. That's what it says. So we just let Him out. So Father God, give us the courage. Take away the fear. Take away the lies. Bring Your truth and reality. Help us to see You truly as You are and not some sepia-covered, pale imitation. And then, Father God, may all that You have placed within us come out for Your glory and honour. Amen. One last thing, I think. It may be that a lot of what I've said today has gone right over your head, and you're thinking, who is this Jesus that He's talking about? But you know that God is knocking at the door of your heart. You don't know all the answers. You haven't got all the answers. I'm just going to encourage you. As we sing the last song. It's all right, you can come. As we sing the last song. Just very simply. Where you are. Give your life to Jesus. And it will never be the same. Just ask Him to come into your life. And encourage you and help you to be a follower of Jesus, a person of truth, a person of reality. In Jesus' name, amen.